الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. Just as an announcement for those people who are joining via the Join Me interface, that should be working. For some reason, the other avenue where you could listen, meaning directly from the website, is not propagating. So we'll try to troubleshoot that, and hopefully it will be up by tomorrow, inshallah. So we're talking about the second juz today. And one of the overriding themes in this juz is the impropriety of speaking out of ignorance and leading in a situation of incompetence. The Quran continues from where we left off at the end of the sixth juz, talking about the Christians, and describes some of these Christians who have literally tears in their eyes from when they recognize as the truth from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And, you know, we recall that they recognized him the same way that they recognized their own children. And therefore, when he came, it was like a fulfillment of all these prophecies they had with him. And they accepted him. And then, as the first sort of example of this idea of speaking out of ignorance or leading out of ignorance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells people not to make haram what is halal, but rather a person should eat that which is halal and that which is tayyib. So, and then another example of this contortion of what is to be done in particular situations in terms of ruling is the rulings about making oaths. So sometimes, what if a person just, you know, some people say wallahi, wallahi for everything. So do they have to give a kafara every time they say wallahi? I mean, these are things which require knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes over the rules about making oaths and the kafara for breaking the oaths. But then he tells us, wahfuz waimanukum, if you're going to say and make an oath, then you should take it seriously. If you say wallahi, if, you know, I passed my test, then I'm going to fast for 3 days, then, you know, fast for 3 days. And we should keep our oaths unless they involve some type of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In which case, if a person says, wallahi, I'm going to drink, you know, a bottle of wine if you beat me in basketball, and the other guy beats you in basketball, it doesn't mean that, you know, you have, the pious thing is to go and drink, you know, wine. Rather, you should break the oath and then give the kafara for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about wine and gambling, and then sacrificing at the altar, like at the altar of idols, and divination by arrows. All of these are filth from shaitan. And look, I mean, gambling is, I mean, if no one would ever think of sacrificing an animal in front of an idol, but gambling and wine are just as bad. And these bad things have bad effects. They create enmity amongst people. They create hatred amongst people. And they stop people from praying salah and making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom in preventing us from these type of things, and He knows best. I mean, I remember we had a lecture from the medical examiner, and we see, I mean, the medical examiners, you know, especially if you live in a dangerous area, you see some crazy cases. And one of the things that struck me, al-khamr jumma wal-ism, is that in many of those situations where you have, you know, very gross transgressions of, you know, man against man, you have the alcohol was actually involved, because it's not normal for a person to behave in that type of way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about not to hunt when we're state of ihram. This is a place of peace, and it should be a state where we're ultimately at peace. And He talks about the kafara in the case that a person ends up hunting when they're ihram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the rulings regarding food of the sea, the hunt of the sea, and that it is halal. And then He talks about we're talking about not hunting in a haram. So He talks about how the Kaaba and the Haram is a sanctuary. It's a place of security. It's a place of where people come and get benefits. And similarly, our various other signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're like the sacred months, which are four in number, three consecutive and one separate, and sacrificial animals. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet ﷺ that his only job is really to convey, and hidayah is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that, you know, things which are good and things which are filthy and bad, they can be equal, even though a lot of things which are filthy or bad are very attractive. that we acknowledge that he Allah SWT acknowledges that, and that's the test of the dunya. But Allah SWT ultimately knows what is good and what is bad. You know, food which is unhealthy, you know, a person might really want to eat a lot of it, but it's going to kill you. It's going to give you obesity, it's going to give you high cholesterol, it's going to give you, give you various other diseases. So that when Allah SWT guides us towards something, even though we might want to do it, we should take Allah SWT's guidance over what our desires are. And Allah SWT tells us not to ask about things that if they were made clear, or Allah SWT would reveal about it, that it would become difficult for us. I mean, don't ask questions for the sake of asking. And if Allah SWT left something silent, He didn't do it by mistake. So for example, asking Rasulullah, do I have to make Hajj every year? Well, I mean, if He had to make Hajj every year, Allah SWT would have told us. So this is another example of sometimes the way people deviate with regards to knowledge. And then Allah SWT talks about how they institute all types of superstitions and bid'ah. And they made these very complex rules, actually, about this. So there's a whole system about, you know, the different types of camels and the ones that couldn't do work, and, you know, they were relegated, and it had to do with, you know, who, like I said, a very complex algorithm. So that's not knowledge. And when they're actually called to the truth and to true knowledge, they don't come. They say, I would rather stick with the way of our fathers, meaning what they're familiar with. And this is human nature. I mean, you grow up in a certain way, you're raised in a certain way, you're familiar with certain things, and then that's just what's comfortable. And change is very uncomfortable for people in general. Then Allah SWT talks about, there will be a time. We're talking about hidayah, so, and we want other people to be guided, but there will come a time where, you know, you just have to take care of yourself. And if other people go get misguided, I mean, that's not on you. And so in that time, you know, the best wealth will be, you know, someone who has some goats, and then they just go and take to the mountains, because things will be that bad. Some more ahkam come with regards to making a bequest when a person has a final will and testament, and how that person should make two just witnesses in that situation, and the different rulings with regards to that. Then Allah SWT transitions to like a classic or maybe an ultimate example of perversion in speaking of no knowledge. And this is the situation of what they did with Isa alayhi salam. Allah SWT reminds Isa alayhi salam of his various favors that he put on and that he gave to him, and all the miracles that he was able to do with the permission of Allah SWT. But even though those amazing things were happening in front of their very eyes, they didn't accept it. And they actually made excuses. They said, this is magic. And then Allah SWT talks about the disciples, right, and then their request to Isa alayhi salam for a table spread to come down from the heaven, because if that came, then they really know that Isa alayhi salam is not truly the prophet of God. Because literally there is a table spread coming down from heaven with food that will be like an Eid for them, from the first to the last of them. So Isa alayhi salam, you know, he makes the dua, but you know, if and but from Allah SWT's side, when Allah SWT makes something that clear, and then if a person, you know, turns back, you get punished in such a way that no one has ever got punished before. So sometimes the fact that Allah SWT doesn't make things crystal clear, in a sense, and allows us to have iman bil ghaib, is actually a rahmah for us. Because what if it was made clear to us and we didn't believe? And you know, you might ask about how could that ever happen? If that happened to me, I would believe for sure. But we're going to see at the very end of the ayah and in other places where that's not actually the case. People think that, or people don't really understand themselves, and they think that they would behave in certain circumstances very differently from when they're actually put in the situation. And people think that, if I was in the time of the Prophet, you know, it would have been so amazing. Well, how do you know? How do you know you would have enough courage to stand with him against all the Quraysh? How do we know that we wouldn't have been from Munafiqeen or from the disbelievers? We just don't know. So Allah SWT has a hikmah in everything. Allah SWT asks us, he asked Isa alayhi salam if he told them to worship him. And this is the ultimate argument against him, because the very person that you're worshiping, he's like, I mean, he says, no way. If I said that to him, anyway, you'd know it, Allah, right? You know what's inside me. You know everything I do. Everything is known to you. And then he makes this epic dua that, you know, into azibhum fa innahum ibad. If you punish them, then you're rightful. They're your slaves. You can do whatever you want with them. When تغفر لهم, but if you forgive them, then إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. Then, I mean, that's befitting of you. So we always pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats us the way that He is, not the way that we deserve. And on the final day, truth will be the thing that benefits the individuals, and the people of the truth will be the ones who are in paradise. So that ends the Surah Ma'idah, then we begin Surah Al-An'am. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this and about how praise is for Him. And He talks about how amazing He is. He's created light. He's created dark. And similarly, there's a parallel where He gives life from dead clay. He knows that which is secret. He knows what is open. And He asks to look at how many successful nations, powerful nations, you know, world powers, superpowers, were destroyed before us. And these were people who were so entrenched in their disbelief that, you know, even if they had a book coming down to them from heaven, they would call it magic, right? And this is what you have with the skeptics and the rationalists and the ultra, atheist scientists of today. That, you know, if something happens and they were to see something, they're like, oh, that's just a hallucination. Oh, that's, you know, a suggestion. Or they would make some type of other excuse to explain it or rationalize it away. And these were people who made a joke with the prophets. And you know what? People who messed around with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it caught up with them in the end. But just because they were destroyed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to think that He's not merciful. Right? I mean, yes, they earned it, but kataba ala nafsi rahmah. He is a merciful Lord. And He's prescribed mercy on Himself. This is something that He's written upon Him. And this is, and you know, He's so merciful that, you know, He owns everything. And so then He asks, why worship anything other than your Creator? I'm the one who feeds you. I'm the one who does all of this. And people are, you know, literally worshiping someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a manifestation of His mercy is He still feeds them. And not only has He created us, and not only does He feed us, but He's fully powerful over us. None can prevent His harm, and none can bring any good to us if He doesn't want it. And that grand, amazing Allah is witness. Right? Now, He sort of sets the whole stage of how powerful He is. And He Himself is bearing witness. And this is the ultimate witnessing that Rasulullah is the messenger of Allah. And the fact of the matter is, why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even have to do that? Because they already know it. They know Him like they know their own sons, the Quran says. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who's more zalim than the one who makes lies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And, you know, people just made up things. You know, it's like if you're sitting with your, you know, wife, and your wife says, why were you swearing at me and using four-letter words this morning? You're like, what are you talking about? I never did anything like that. I mean, that's just between two human beings. What about if someone makes up a lie like that on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And to say that He has a son is far worse than saying that a person swore. And, you know, when these people are going to be asked on Qiyamah, they're just going to lie. They have no other excuse. Unfortunately, there are those people who actually listen to the prophets, but their hearts are sealed. And these type of people, no sign will make them believe. So this gets back to the idea that I was talking about earlier. People think that, you know, it's up to them. Oh, I can just be Islamic, or I can, you know, I am the one who's choosing. And there's a certain element of that, but ultimately the hidayah is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands between a person and his heart, then there's no hope for them. And these people who, you know, who will, no sign will make them believe, they're the ones who think that in here the hayat dunya, it's all about this world, right? And these are the people who have this existential crisis. But don't worry, right? The Quran talks about how it's all going to get sorted out in the hereafter. This life is just a play. It's just a game. The akhirah is real. Right? That's going to be the real day, and that's going to be the reality. And then he tells the Prophet ﷺ not to be sad. You know, that he says that they're rejecting my ayat, they're not rejecting you. And he even says to Rasulullah, look, if it becomes too heavy on you, the fact that they're not coming to Islam, because he has so much desire for the hidayah, he says, then why don't you go and bring them some sign from the heaven, right? Just go and climb a ladder and bring them an ayah. And you can. So hidayah is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are people who are dumb, and they're deaf, and they're in darkness. I mean, they're very hard to reach. So it's not something that's, it's not about you, it's about them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how He sends calamities to past nations so that they can come back. But instead, you know, those people, instead of coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they became hard. This is just something to remember, that when we come through tough times in our life, it's not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates us. It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Because when we come through tough times, then we're reminded about the fragility of ourselves. We're reminded of our humanity, and it's natural to turn towards a higher power. It's natural to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how He brings us close. But there's other people who just become more hard-hearted. So when people become hard, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just opens up the world for them, right? And then they get really happy, and they think everything's going their way, and then He takes them all of a sudden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, what are you going to do if I take your hearing, and I take your sight, and I seal your hearts? Who can undo that? What if, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes all of a sudden? You know, what's going to happen in any of those situations? And then He clarifies the role of the Prophet, right? Again, that hidayah is really in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand. The Prophet is just a bearer of glad tidings, bashira wa nadira, and he's a warner. He doesn't know the unseen. He's not an angel. He's just following instructions. You know, they say in this country, don't kill the messenger. So, you know, it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then reminding the Prophet, he's just a messenger. He tells them, don't push away the weak people, you know, trying to attract the attention and give da'wah to the people who are strong, you know. And this is the problem that, you know, people of high status had. They're like, yeah, take these losers away from you, like the poor people, then we'll come and sit with you. I mean, how could we sit in the same people, you know, where I am a PhD from Harvard. I'm not going to sit next to the janitor. What are you talking about, right? I'm a billionaire. You don't want me to sit with the riffraff? So Allah subhanahu says, no, it doesn't work like that. You know, what it matters is what's in people's heart and their true faith, and that's what has value with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the da'wah of the Prophet sallam, what is that? He said, I'm told not to worship other than Allah and not to follow just based of vain desires, and I'm on bayyina, I'm on a clear proof. Now the consequences, you know, that's up to Allah. And, you know, if it was up to me, it would have been finished by now. But, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing. He knows even a grain in the dark. He gives death. He resurrects, and we have to return to Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that, like, when you're in trouble, who do you call? Right? And then when He saves us and gets us out of that difficult situation, this has happened to all of us, then we just forget, right? And people just go and make shirk. And He can, you know, in retaliation, He can send down a punishment on us whenever He wants, from above us, from underneath us. He can make the earth swallow us up, or He could make us punish each other, like make us into different groups, and we just war with each other. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about not sitting with those people, you know, who don't take the deen seriously, the people who are engaged in, you know, bad discussions. And even if a person forgetfully ends up being with them, when you remember, then you should just leave. So company is super important. And then there's a rhetorical question about why follow anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is so powerful, and He has hidayah. But for some reason, people end up following shaitan, and they're just confused. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam and his da'wah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam used inductive reasoning to show how all the false deities are fani. They're just, you know, they're going to go away. And if you think about it, anything that's followed in this world, all of that, kullu man alayha fan, everything is just going to be perished. Everything's going to be destroyed. And then inni wajahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ard. So he turned his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave prophet in his progeny, and then Allah subhanahu names many different prophets and He praises them, and they're amazing, right? These prophets, we don't sometimes realize how amazing these were people who lived their lives as salih, as righteous people, as true people, in the zikr of Allah, in the ibad of Allah. They didn't fear anything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't sin in their entire lives, but this is not because they're great in and of themselves, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then talks about how people were unjust when they say that God does not reveal to man. Then you ask them, like, then where did the Torah come from? Right? You're ready to accept the Torah, but then you can't accept the revelations coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, what's worse than lying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how about that person who says that I'm going to reveal just like what's in the Quran? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, oh, if you could just see them when the angels are taking these their souls. You know, all these people, rabid atheists, militant atheists, all these people who do these very, very, very terrible things, we have no idea what's going to happen to them in the akhirah. And if we knew, I mean, people would just get their act straight. People are going to come furada, singly, alone, before God, all support is done. And they're going to have to answer. And the next verses talk about who that Allah is that people are going to have to stand before. He is the one who cleaves the seed. He is the one who cleaves the day. He is the one who made the night. He is the one who created the stars. He is the one who sends the rain. He is the one who created us. He gave us our homes. He gave us our food. So the Quran goes through all of that. And these are the same people that he gives all of these things to. They go around and then they start making jinns as a sharik and a partner for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they assign children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can that be? Right? How can that be? So this amazing Allah, that's who Allah is. We're told to worship him. He cannot be encompassed by the sight. He encompasses everything. And if Allah wanted, you know, he says, like, they wouldn't know and would have made shirk. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world as a test. And he reminds the Prophet that you're not their keeper. Then in the last page, we're told that we shouldn't curse other people's gods, because in response, they might curse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the final verses talks about if they swear that if an ayah comes, like the clear sign, then no, la yu'minanna, they will surely, surely believe. But the problem is that they said that they're going to believe. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when that ayah comes, he won't let them believe. Because when they had to believe in the first place, they didn't. So and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn their hearts away. And for whatever reason, however way, and sometimes it's hard to understand this unless you're actually seeing this with your own eyes, they can't see it. They just don't come to hidayah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from that. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.